program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a little bit is John Ramos, but I first want to just talk to you and encourage you today. We've been really talking about so many serious things lately, and we just want to just encourage you to know that, you know, our God is in control, and that wherever you are, we just really see, you know, God's called us to make disciples of nations. And he said, I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. And we see with VFN TV, we see that, you know, we want to be able to encourage you no matter where you're at. Maybe, you know, you're in the you know, business. Obviously, most everybody's going to work every day. And when you're hearing with ACLJ often on our program where they're talking about Christians don't even know that they have rights at the workplace and that you can openly talk about the Lord. And so often in our faith, we just kind of keep it inside of a building somewhere. God is the creator of the universe. He holds everything together. He says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before God. And for some reason, something's happened in the mindset of the church that's like, you know, people feel awkward about sharing how awesome God is. And if God has forgiven us and brought us into the family, and, you know, we're just excited about that. We want to be able to share that. But also the fact that you know, God wants to bless you in your business, to give you creative ideas and concepts, and he wants to impact that. He's the creator of business. I mean, even Jesus said, I must be about the Father's business. I mean, God, you look at the scriptures that have to do with fair scales and the way pricing's done and the way interest is charged. And, you know, God is all into that. Imagine if the Lord would just give you a specific a business of your own or insight for you to be able to share with the people who own your company, your business, that takes your business to whole new levels. And that's things that we know that God can do. He's done it in our lives, and he can do it in your life. It's understanding, say, God, I want you to be the God of where I'm at every day, whether it's in business, whether it's in arts and entertainment, whether it's in education. And there's so many teachers. There's so many teachers that are, you know, you love God, but yet you leave your faith, you know, at your home, or you leave your faith, you know, at where you gather for church. And those students, they're created in the image and the likeness of God, and the witness that you can be to them and impart things in their life. Just powerful. We just want to believe that, you know, God could just come back into the school system in a powerful way, you know. And so we'll be talking about that. But there's an article out right now that says that the studies show that most Americans believe that God even rewards athletes who openly, you know, acknowledge him, that they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the statistics, we'll be talking about that. And you think about it right now, you're looking at, you know, this athlete right now. I think about Tim Tebow. And you think about this man who loves God. You know, his parents have been in the mission field. Yeah, it's Russell Wilson, NFL. But look at all the athletes. You know, so many people believe that, you know, God rewards us or rewards athletes when they stand up for their faith. Well, imagine if you, in the schoolhouse where you work or in the workplace where you work or in the government where you work, if you just stand up like Tim Tebow, you stand up like, you know, Wilson that you're seeing here at NFL. But imagine what begins to, this is what we see. We literally see Christians beginning to stand up where you are, where you exist, knowing that God has put you there, placed you there for you to be a light in the midst of what's going on, and to bring some great ideas. So we'll be talking about that today to encourage you. But also, when you think about technology, we talk about, you know, that, you know, they talk about this mark of the beast, and it'll be an economic system that's going on, and you see the economy's being pushed around now. But then you think about the mark, it says in Revelations, will be on your hand or on your forehead. But the CEO Smith, the CEO of Google's talking about, you know, putting a mark, not putting a mark, putting a chip in your brain. I mean, think about that. A computer chip in your brain. Of course, the older you get, you start thinking like, you know, but you're thinking like, I'd rather not know something, I think. And we want to talk about this concept today. There seems to be this gathering thing where people just want to gather more and more knowledge. They really don't know anything what to do with it. But they just want to gather, like the NSA supposedly and reportedly is gathering all this information, 200 million texts a day, and all these different things are taking place. But the thing about it is, like, everybody's becoming gatherers of information, but it's like, what are you going to do with it? Isn't it better to know one thing well than to have a little bit of everything and know nothing well? And with God, you know, we'll find out that it's better just to listen to him and what he's revealing to us at that time. But we'll talk about that. They're actually talking about putting a chip in brains. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Step up and make a difference this Christmas. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Try this idea from Gail, who was in high school when she took the lead in helping a family in need.
It was becoming Christmas, and I had heard that they weren't, I just knew their Christmas wasn't going to be that great, and that I'd see them come in with these ragamuffin coats, and for some reason, God just led me to put out the word, get them coats, get them Christmas presents, and yet I knew nothing of that kind of life, but I just knew in my heart that I had something I could offer to somebody else.
By coordinating the effort, Gail helped that family enjoy Christmas together in a way that really made a difference. In the same way, why not look for opportunities to give of your money, time, and talents to others this holiday season? You'll find more great ideas at FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, we're looking at the sports survey here that's done. I thought it was pretty interesting. You were seeing Russell Wilson here probably on the screen behind me with the Seattle Seahawks, but they did a survey, John, in the survey about sports fans and all. They say the study shows that most Americans believe that God rewards athletes for their faith. And I know that just, I don't have to be an athlete. It just could be, you know,
anybody.
God will reward you. But what's so cool about seeing that, it's such a public figure. They can be the example for people that, you know, I want to live my life like that. And Tim Tebow's definitely, you know, had a life like that. But according to the survey conducted, that 53% of Americans, based on the survey, and 56% of self-described sports fans, Pat, that say that athletes with faith in God are rewarded with good health and success.
How about that?
And that's actually what, when Joshua chapter 1 talks about that, that you will be rewarded with success when you make this stand. And, you know, when you think about that, it's pretty cool. What is Benjamin Watson? I mean, he made a beautiful
Facebook post.
Facebook for the same. You know, he plays for a game. I don't know what the team is called. I don't know. It's like the Seattle. Seahawks.
I don't know. Probably not a memorable team.
I don't know.
Can't remember the name.
I don't know. We hear you, Pat. We know it's the Saints. We know you play for the Saints. But it just, you have so much, you know, impact with, you know, that position.
Sure.
But they're not unique in regards, they're unique in regards to their talents of playing sports. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between an actual player and a fan.
This is true.
About 125 pounds.
And a couple $1 million and some skills.
Oh, yes, money too.
And skills.
But that's an example. When you see, you know, I like, you know, Tim Tebow and how he stands up for God and stood up, and you see how he trains. I mean, these guys don't just get there. But if you think about that, if you think about, you know, it's not just unique to sports figures that, you know, we can ourselves work hard at what God's given us to do. You know, maybe your gift is business. Maybe your gift is music. Maybe your gift is administration. Maybe your whatever it is, we can look at people like Tim Tebow and Benjamin Watson and others that are out there at how they, you know, openly acknowledge God and they work real hard at their sport and they do really well, that we can work that hard at what we're called to do.
And as you're talking, I'm thinking about the Green family.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Mr. Green, the Lord spoke to him and told him that he wanted him to close his stores on Sunday. And that was a big deal for him at that time, and he just kind of prayed about it. But he had a delayed obedience.
Right.
And what he found out was that delayed obedience was disobedience because
right.
he saw his numbers begin to just start dropping across his prophets everywhere.
Right.
And so he said, you know what? I'm just going to obey the Lord. We're just going to close on Sunday. And when he made that decision, the same way they came down, they went back up.
Right.
But
there was a learning curve even in that. Didn't it go down just a little bit at first? And sorry, there was a time he had to, you know, God always has that time of like,
mm-hmm.
you know, are you doing this just because you're going to get
right,
more? Or are you
right.
doing this because
yeah.
I told you to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, today,
uh-huh.
I mean, they're breaking ground on the Bible Museum that the Green families is behind, a 433,000 square foot building.
In Washington, D.C. Can you imagine what real estate cost where they got that?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, wow. What is the real estate?
$400 million for the Bible Museum.
How, and if they closed on Sunday, how can you get $400 million? Don't you have to be open on Sunday?
No, you don't. You just got to obey God.
I was just watching the other day. This particular man was preaching. He's like, you should not work on Sunday. But then I saw him eating at a restaurant after. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, it's good to see yeah. you. I'd like some
I'm glad
ketchup.
Somebody was open, right?
I'd like some ketchup, right? No,
yeah.
I was just a joke. But yeah, that, so, and you think also about the Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah.
And the Caffey, you know, the Caffey family.
Truett Caffey.
Truett Caffey. And had a chance to see him before he had passed. But just making that stand.
Mm.
And everybody needs a day of rest. I mean, it's not a religious thing like God rewards us because we actually take Sunday off. Is there's wisdom in taking a day off to just focus on God,
mm-hmm.
you know, to seek him and just stop business for a day and a day of rest. Even God rested. But we're noticing that in the survey, it's just showing, you know, those that boldly stand up for God, you know, get blessed. You know, most Americans believe this. And so imagine this. Imagine if. You know, some people just, you know, when they show up at work, they just act like somebody came to their house with a van. They duct taped their hands behind their back. They put their kids in some sort of hostage situation.
Right.
They threw them in the workplace and said, you're going to have to work here. They're like doing everybody a favor for showing up. At the same time, they're saying, can you come to my church on Sunday?
Wow.
And it's like they just feel like, that, you know.
And give me a raise.
And give me a raise. And it's like. But, you know, you should be walk like Tim Tebow. You should be doing that Tim Tebow prayer in the hallway at work. You know what I'm saying? You should be talking to your boss and just, without even telling him or her, you know, be praying for them, that God would give them wisdom. It's okay to pray for your boss. It's okay to pray for your company. It's okay to pray for success. And one thing you find out is how can two walk together unless they agree?
Hmm.
You know, and if and you need to write down a vision for the business and you know, and your company. If you work for somebody who founded that company, they have an idea what they want for that company. They have a vision for that company. And just walking in and say, you know, you'd like to spend some time with the boss. First of all, they're thinking, oh, here goes. They want a raise or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaving me or whatever. But and then sit down and say, listen, what is your vision for this company? What do you see? What was the thing that got you into this company? First of all, you got their attention. And you don't want to do it because of that reason. But
sure.
Because how are you going to pray for the vision and the direction and success in the company if you don't even know how they measure success? And begin to talk with them about that.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to say, you know, well, oh, you actually want, you know, you see a whole new product line coming in that you want to be able to build the customer base out here. You want to be able to get good customer service. You want to increase product sales and, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can say, you know, write it down and then. So the reason why I'm asking you, because I want to be able to pray that God would give you success. And I wanted to know what that is, because I want to ask God to give you these things. And you'll be surprised. God will use that as a witness to your boss, because he'll notice or she'll notice what the bottom line was before you found out what was going on. And like Joseph, you begin to say, and listen, Joseph was in Potiphar's house. That was not the most godliest business that was going on right there.
No.
You can imagine what was happening, you know, at Potiphar's house. But God blessed Potiphar's house when he was there.
Yeah.
So much so that they even brought him out of a prison sentence to be able to run the country.
Yeah.
They understood that wherever Joseph is, then that place is going to be blessed. And I believe God can make you a blessing where you're at. And that's why you're even there, so that you can make God known. And you make God known by going, not constantly just saying, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, you need
mm-hmm.
Jesus. He's like, you need to actually show me Jesus, you know.
he cared about folks.
Yeah.
And he loved and he met the
That's so man. Important what you're saying, because I think even the narrative that so many people have been spoken to and shared about, that God doesn't care about their work, that their work's not important. You know, that in Colossians tells us to do our work unto the Lord. It's right. actually a spiritual thing.
Right.
And we can honor God and he can be glorified in everything we do when we go to the workplace and just do our job, do what we're supposed to do.
Go figure, right?
Yeah.
Do my job.
I know someone who just did their job and yeah. they did well.
Yeah.
You know?
What did you do? I just did my job. You'll stand out when you do your job. And one way to do your job, I was talking to a bank manager recently, and she was talking about how that, you know, she hired, you know, some people and whatever. And she said, you know, you have to be at work at all the time. It was like 8 o'clock. Mm. And so it was so amazing that this particular young person, I mean, they would not touch that door, the entrance of the bank, until 8. I mean, the clock was clicking over, walked that door at 8.
Don't you love that?
And it's like, and that's not, you know, before the Lord in regards to how God wants to see you, you know, walking in integrity. And imagine this, opening the door before 8 o'clock, if you're supposed to be at 8 o'clock, and getting all set up so when the work begins, you're ready to go. You start mm-hmm. working at 8. You don't start beginning and entering into the concept of work.
Right.
You know, kind of getting your thoughts together, waking up, getting a cup of coffee. You know, they end up paying you, what, $10, $20 for that cup of coffee?
Whatever, you agree to it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, she was so frustrated with that. She just couldn't believe that that happens. And the discussion was, it seems to be happening, you know, the work ethic over America. But in regards to, despite how America's doing, the church in America, I mean, how are we doing? I mean, you had, Joseph was betrayed by his brother, so he had a dysfunctional family, so that couldn't be an excuse, right? Mm. He was in slavery, which is an unpaid position, so the amount you're getting paid can't be an issue, right? Then he was lied on and put in prison on a false sentence. So, you know, injustice, you know, this, you know, he had a record. And if you Google Joseph, if there was Google around there, then you probably wouldn't even hired him, what they were accusing him of. And so you can't use that as an excuse. And he helped people out that didn't even recognize him in regards to what's going on. He had successful in his ministry, but they didn't acknowledge that aspect of it. So you can't use the whole thing. Is like, it's just what Joseph said when he had an opportunity to do wrong. He said, I cannot do this thing before God. And so when we're at work, no matter where we're at, we're aware of the eyes of the Lord are on us. Mm-hmm. And what we have to begin to do is just do our work as unto the Lord, like Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus. He's going like, when you work, you know, work as unto the Lord. God is the one that's going to give you a reward. And it doesn't have to necessarily, well, also in Colossians, but also in Ephesians, you know, he says, submit to your boss, submit to your master, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which means, I mean, in America, we don't have to say that. But even if it was that context, it would have to be that way. And he does talk to the people that are over people. If you're a Christian and you're a supervisor or a manager or a business owner, how you manage those folks, God's watching how you manage those folks and, you know, what you do with that. And imagine how we can impact that. Because if we impact the workplace, if we impact that part of culture, John, think about it. If Christians begin to pray for success for their companies, ask God, would you make this business a success? Then you would see an increase in finance in those who are believers in the church and Christians. When I talk about church, I'm talking about people, not a building somewhere. And then, and imagine this, if the 97% that are robbing from God, according to George Barna, begin to honor God with his tithes and offerings, then you would see this shift where the church and believers can begin to go, you know, we have resources to be able to build this hospital here. We have resources to be able to have a school over here that we not only can talk about Jesus, we could write his name over every single door if we wanted to write his name. We were no longer bound by those things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can measure the difference between, okay, this is a school that honors God, this is a school that doesn't honor God. There's no metal detectors here. There's metal detectors here. I mean, it'd just be real easy to find out. And so, when you look at, the church and you look at the business mountain, a part of culture, that finances the other six mountains, if you think about the spheres of culture, which is, you know, the religion mountain, the church mountain, the government mountain, the arts and entertainment, the media mountain, and the family mountain. And you think about that, that's where the finances come from in regards to that. And I think this is going to be a big thing for us, because how we act on the job, because I think you spend much more time, you know, at work paying attention than you do at home with your families and that type of thing. I mean, how many people show up and sit there, you know, alert at your desk at home, you know, when people are talking to you, you're more relaxed and have a more relaxed environment. But
well, think about it, 40 to 60 hours a week are spent at least at the workplace, not including getting ready, driving, and, you know, your commute.
Right.
So, yeah, it's important. It's important how we arrive and what we do, and that we glorify God in everything, not just in the things that we choose, but our whole life should be an example that gives God glory and success and all that does well. Because, you know, we don't, when God does reward us, it's not about us receiving the glory, but we can always point back to the Lord and say, it's because it's his favor and it's because God blessed me. I love what Tim Tebow does when they're trying to give him all kinds of, you know, accolades and awards and all those different things. He always points the glory back to God, and that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, the, if we think about the workplace, when we begin to do what's right in the workplace, you'll begin to see everything. You'll begin to see everything change. Because if you're a police officer, how you enforce the laws is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're actually paying more closer attention as a Christian officer, how you're doing that, and how you're bringing justice. And then you think about if you're a teacher, you know, you're actually teaching the children now. And the concept of, I'm not just doing my time. I'm actually praying over these kids by name, and I'm understanding their lives and speaking into their lives. And when you think about regards to, you know, even doing school lunches, that you're praying over that food and you're saying hello. I mean, one kind word from a somebody who's fixing the food for a student may be the only kind word they hear all day long.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, I was going through a diet drive-through fast food restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. And so,
do tell.
Yes.
Diet fast food.
Yes. It was something about a king.
Oh,
King.
Was it a Burger King?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Burger King.
Oh, okay.
And I did have a salad with it.
Did you?
They had lettuce and tomato on it.
One piece of lettuce.
But man, I'm telling you though, I mean, this young lady, when she was talking to me, I mean, she set that place off. She was like, you know, you think about down south, it's different than in those audiences, different areas. But down south, you know, people say honey and darling and everything, and it's not a negative connotation,
right?
And she's like, is there anything else for you, honey? I'm like, I probably want to, you know. And she's just so nice. You just felt like, man, this is like family.
Yeah.
It made you just want to, you know. And she just said, okay, darling, you have a good day. Now, that was just so nice, being that kind. I mean, there was no negative connotation to that. But I thought, man, just if we just start doing that, you know, doing that in the context of our work and what we do, we'll change everything. As a matter of fact, more we get back from this break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We were just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, is there something? We prayed for a long time. You know, we prayed for a long time. And part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point. It's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace. I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions, but I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did sir. That. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And let you put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're gods, and not if you say you're gods, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're gods, God's apostrophe S, you know, you possess of that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're gods. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is a prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And I'm like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torchlight, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Just reading this off the grid, you know, Newsweek magazine, we've shown it before. You might want to get you a copy of it. It's amazing how it looks like those in the world are starting to realize, you know, it's coming. Franklin Graham just said that the storm is coming. We prophesied for years now that the storm is coming. But there comes a day when the storm comes, and it looks like this is the year. This is the year. So I want to encourage you to go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and begin to, it has an entire section dedicated to the storm, you know, disaster, to be able to, how to prepare for it. Because a prudent preparation, when you see a storm coming, you want to be able to prepare for it. And we have some simple wisdom to be able to walk that out. But the Word of God just says, you know, prudent man sees a storm, sees danger, and prepares for it, but a fool keeps going and suffers for it. And when you're reading the book of Acts, and there was a time when Paul was going and he was ministering, but there was famine that happened. There was a famine that happened, and they had to be able to get food from one particular part of the church to the other part of the church. But things just happen, and God lets us know to be able to prepare for those things. And it looks like some serious, serious days are ahead. And stay tuned to VFN TV because our desire, we believe the Lord has set us up for this day to be able to encourage you, keep the light before you, and to give you insight and to share insight from others that will be joining us from around the United States to be able to give insight about what to do next. Because I believe the best days for the church is ahead, but we're going to have to pay close attention during these difficult times that are coming. Mm-hmm. John, talk to us, man.
Yes, you know, NASA's reporting about this amazing video that they were able to capture about the sun, and we're going to have this video for you. I want you to see it, but it just got me really to be thinking, especially as the, you know,
seasons. We still have a NASA?
Well, I don't know what they're doing. They're capturing videos of the sun, but yes, we do have a NASA.
The morning sun?
Well, the sun period. Okay, I mean, right. It's amazing. I know for me, I get sometimes real busy, and I'm going to the next thing, and I just forget to appreciate God's creation and how
right.
beautiful things really are, and especially during seasons changing, you get to say, wow, this is a beautiful earth that God's blessed us with. And, you know, I didn't know how awesome really the sun was, but just doing a little bit of research, I found out that you could fit 1 million earths, the size of the earth, 1 million of them,
right,
in the size of the sun.
Isn't that amazing?
Inside the sun.
Right.
And just, you know.
You don't get too close to that.
No. Right. And it's a filled with all a bunch of gases and just amazing things. But I want you to see this video because the Bible says that God's creation really speaks of the majesty and the glorious nature of who our God is. And I think we miss so much of that every single day. Creation speaks. And as you look at this video, just think about how awesome and how amazing God is. This is just the earth. We haven't talked about the, you know, the galaxies and the stars and everything else that the Lord created. But just look at the sun, because we're going to talk more about Psalms 19 and how creation speaks about the majesty of God. Watch this. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's just so amazing. It's beautiful. And I think about Psalms 19 when I just look at that those images because, you know, like I said earlier, I think so many times we go through life, we're so busy these days, we have all this technology supposedly to help us to, manage our time, and yet we just keep getting busier and busier. And I think that we need to take time just to slow down and go through nature and go through our life, appreciating just the beautiful wonders that God has created. But I think about Psalms 19, and verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. They shout, they scream, and they speak of God's glory and his majesty. It says, the skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the world, and their words to the ends of the world.
You think about it, just looking at that, it's just shouts. How in the world could you think that there's not a creator?
How?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
You know, I look at that. I look at a baby being born and you say, in 9 months, this amazing creation.
Right.
Listen, it's nothing but the hand of God.
Right.
And I think that when we look at the things that God is creating, you look at the animals and you look at some of the things, but God, I don't know why you created this little bug, but you know what? But you look at all these things. I love going to see the ocean, and we living on the Gulf Coast, you get a chance to see some of the most beautiful beaches. In fact, CNN just reported that in the Gulf Coast, Pensacola had top five beaches in the United States. And so you look at those things and you say, God, you're just so awesome, and I want to appreciate who you are. So many times we get so focused on the small, insignificant things, but we got to realize that life is just a vapor. We're just here for a moment and for a season, and our life really should constantly evolve around who God is. You know, recently some people have passed, and I've heard of others here in conversation being concerned about passing away, and I'm thinking, what are you concerned about?
As a Christian,
what are you concerned about? This is our reward. This is what we're living for, is the opportunity to be with Jesus.
Did you not listen for the last 30 years and what we've been doing?
Yeah. No worries here. You know, I'm ready. And you can be ready too.
Yes.
And make Jesus the Lord of your life. But
that kind of doesn't, but I think, you know, that's a reveals that we're not ready.
Yeah.
Because you can be very religious. I mean, look at the religion in the world today.
Yeah.
But if you know Jesus, your spirit bears witness with his spirit that you're a son of God, that you're going to live, have eternal life with him. You know this. So if you don't know that, you can be sure today. I mean, you go listen to some of our testimonies. Read them at meetmyfather.org because, you know, you want to be sure and you want to have peace. This is an eternal project here.
Mm.
This is not this little small. We have a moment in time to see his awesomeness and choose him. But in eternity, the choice is already made at that moment because whatever we decided in this life, and that's why we can look at creation. I mean, Romans chapter 1 says, men are without excuse because of creation.
That's right.
It just shouts, there's a creator, and you should have inquired of him. You should have called out for him. And to make himself known, he gave his son to make himself known to us.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That's what he did. He says, you know, when you've seen the son, you've seen the father. Jesus did nothing, said nothing unless he heard or seen the father do it. So with that, you know, he was making himself known to us so we would inquire of him, and he made a way for us to get to him through his son.
Mm.
So I mean, creation, it just all kind of comes together. You know, everything was created by him and for him, and without him, nothing was created. So this that you're seeing here is just beautiful, you know.
Yeah, you know, the sun is the center of the solar system. Planets revolve around the sun. The sun doesn't revolve around the planets. It's just causes me to think about how the Son of God is the center of our universe.
The center of the universe. Think about that.
God, the Son of God.
Right.
And so it just helps us to align our priorities around the Lord and say, you know what, God, it's not going to be about me or what I have to do and about building a kingdom here on this earth, but it's about me living for you and for your kingdom. And however long I have on this earth, you know, whether it's a short time or a long time, I want to be fruitful during this season, the moment that I have, because when it's over, it's over, and I'm going to spend eternity with you.
Yeah, that's totally amazing. And so sometimes I remember we did the big prophetic Malachi mandates, and we would go out in the wilderness.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We had, you know, 1,000 so fathers, sons, mentors, and all that. And we got around the campfire. We looked at the stars. I remember there was a red moon one night. There was a powerful red moon. It was a big shift that took place in the body of Christ that night. And because of that shift, what's about to happen, you know, is going to happen. But it was just getting under the stars. It just changed everything.
Let me tell you, you could appreciate that. I used to live in New Jersey, New York, and you can't see the sky. I used to love coming into the Gulf Coast because as soon as I got off the airplane, you can see the beautiful blue skies.
Right.
I was used to seeing dark skies and, you know, buildings blocking everything.
Right. Yeah, the I remember going to New York, and they had billboards there, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, they had smog, I guess.
Yeah.
It was the only place I ever knew that on the BQE that you can have a pothole on a bridge.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you think about having potholes on a road, but imagine having potholes on a bridge, the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. I'm thinking, if your tire goes in there, you might go down, you know, below this entire thing. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I remember, too, that, you know, going to the George Washington Bridge and seeing that. We're not going to bring up the death of the potential in that egg.
It's all in Fort Lee.
But the reason why it's called the George Washington Bridge, you know, John, I was there, you know, reading some of the stuff, was that's where George Washington stopped the British from coming to destroy America, the American United States of America as we know it today. As it was the American Revolution, and that's where that took place.
Yeah,
I mean, think about one general, you know, one man who had obviously the Lord behind him, because the things that happened was amazing, even how the currents changed, the winds changed, and all these different things happened that allowed the British to be taken down, because he sunk a whole bunch of boats there and put, you know, trees that had sharp ends on them on that boat. So they were like, they pierced the ships when they were coming in. And wouldn't it be great to actually have a leader who said, you know, we're going to stand up for you.
Yeah.
We're going to fight for you. I mean, like, I don't know. Like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going for Israel, you know, and I just want to encourage you, keep them in your prayers. They're going to be here March the 3rd talking to Congress. That's so important, because that blows the lying narrative out of the water, because all of Congress, remember, those are your representatives. That is America wrapping itself around Israel, saying we stand with Israel. And by doing that, it lets the whole world know that America stands with Israel. And the enemy's been trying to divide us and try to make like America's against Israel. America's for Israel.
It's for Israel, and so is the Congress. I'm so glad that the Congress invited, which are our direct representatives, they invited the Prime Minister to come in and speak. And every time the Prime Minister has come to speak before Congress, I mean, they get standing ovations. I mean, almost interrupt his speech.
I think we're about to see the longest standing ovation we've ever seen, because this is amazing, the things that are happening to Israel right now.
The timing.
Yes. And also the elections are coming up March 17th.
And the third of the four blood moons is coming April the 4th.
So it's going to be a busy few days.
Yes, it is.
You know, God's prepared us for this. I think about, you know, the passing of John Paul Jackson, you know, some of the words that God gave him about the perfect storm and these things come, the storm. And these things are just crescendoing at this moment, but it comes to pass. In other words, it's got to come, but it will pass. But I encourage you, if you haven't signed up for the VFN Torch newsletter, you can do it. It's free. But with that, we got a gift for you. It's called Prudent Preparation. You'll be able to have access to that, and you can listen to it, download it, put it, whatever, and listen to, and begin to prepare for what's ahead, because you want to prepare. And it's amazing. You know, even with this nuclear disaster that happened over in Japan, there was believers there that heard, they prepared, and guess what? They didn't have to stand in line for all these different things. They had enough this and that or whatever they needed to be able to make it through that time. They had a way to prepare and kind of get things ready over there, even through that nuclear disaster with the tsunami that came in there. They prepared, and they were able to make it through that time. And God tells us, but we have to pay attention. What does that mean to be prepared? You can find out by signing up for the Torch newsletter today. Go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner. You can sign up for the Torch newsletter. It'll come to you free each week, keeping you up to date with what's going on. But as a gift, as a saying thank you for signing up, we have prudent preparation for you. We'll be back after this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing. It transferred.
I can't help it. It never happened until it happened.
Thank you for that contribution.
Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're
them
just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? It's like
tilt.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. No. Didn't she come from the anyway?
Anyway. Go ahead.
Okay. So back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say it.
Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
You know, quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay. We're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just yeah.
It's just
croaks.
You. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Very serious quote.
Let's
very
get serious,
into
serious
yeah.
mode.
I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right yeah. now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay.
So.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
According to Infowars.com, Google's Eric Schmidt, the CEO, says that this is the title of the article, Greasing the Skids for the Internet Brain Chip. I mean,
say
think
that
about
again.
That.
It's, greasing a,
it's called
what?
Greasing. This is the title of the article. Right. Google's Eric Schmidt greases the skids for the Internet Brain Chip.
Wow.
It goes on. Google CEO Eric Schmidt greases the skids for the Internet Brain Chip during a speech at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland early today. And this was written January 22nd, as the article was. And he predicts that it'll be the end of the World Wide Web. As an external concept.
Wow.
I know. Who'd have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? You know, asked how he saw the internet developing in the future, Smith says, I will answer very simply that the internet will disappear. It will totally disappear. He said there will be so many IP addresses, and let me explain to you what an IP address is. It's like everything you have. Your phone has an IP address. Your computer has IP address.
Tablet.
I think boxes of cereal have IP addresses now, I guess. But he says that there will be so many IP addresses, in other words, identifying numbers for everything, so many devices, sensors, things that you are wearing, things that you are interacting with, that you won't even sense it. He says it will be a part of your presence at all times. Imagine you walk into a room and the room is dynamic. And and with your permission, everybody goes, yep. That's how they get permission for things. And with your permission, all of that, you know, you are interested in, and it says you are interacting with the things going on in the room. I mean, you're actually interacting it. It's like these virtual games that they're playing now, right?
Right. I think Bill Gates has a house like that, I think.
And not like this is even, this is, you know. So Schmidt, who previously caused controversies amongst privacy advocates, is talking about planting this chip inside of folks. And so, and he's talking about the end of the internet as you know it. And Revelations talks about that. So I don't know how long we're going to be able to use technology as we're using it. We're not dependent. The adversary is dependent on technology, but you know, we have God.
That's right.
We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus. We have all of the angels who are servants of those who are the heirs of salvation. We already had a network prior to Google having one. And it's just like these days we're coming to that point where that he says that you'll basically walk and you'll talk and it'll recognize your voice. Mm. And in my very first, I remember, here you go, like this. You move like this. There you go. See, isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. Pat's getting the Saints tickets. Anyway, wow. It's originally when they came out with voice recognition software. You know, I do have a bit of an accent. A little bit. Not as bad as Steve Kalaszewski's Southern accent.
Okay.
But so I started talking to this thing, trying to, this is great. You can just talk and it would type. This is some time back. And I kept on trying. You had to train it. I'm like, I'm not even trained. How can I train it? Yeah. Right. And finally, it's like, Hick, learn to type. You know what I'm saying? but now I can talk and it recognizes my voice. Mm-hmm. You know, you say, hello, Siri. It's like, hello, Greg. How are you doing today? Are the Saints still losing? I mean, different questions to ask you things. And so, you'll be able to talk to this chip he's talking about. Think about that. This chip and this computer, you'll interact that way with the web. And it's getting close to that. It's just things haven't converged to that point right now. And that's how close we are. And he says that there will be an image of the beast. I mean, an image of the beast. And the very first logo, the very first piece of artwork, because there's always this unique artwork, you know, on Google search area. Mm-hmm. The very first one years ago, of all the things it could have been, it was the Burning Man. It was the Burning Man, where they, you know, build this wooden statue thing in the wilderness and in the desert and catch it on fire and dance around it and chant and all that.
We'll make that related for you.
We'll make that related for you. And it's just like, wow. You know, wow. You know, do no evil. And it's like, but it's the definition of evil is pretty
broad,
important.
I would say.
Yeah, but it's one thing that, you know, we all are finding out is that, you know, every man has sinned. Mm-hmm. Everybody's coming to that conclusion. You know, all have fallen short, and we all need a savior. But once we get to that point and get the religion out of us, you know, we can really, you know, win the world for Christ. Yeah. And I think all that's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, he's talking about talking to the chip.
Wow.
In your brain.
Isn't the Google the company that has a Ray Kurzweil working for them, and he's wrote a book about how to develop a brain?
Yes, yes.
A technological brain that mirrors and functions at the same level, if not better.
Right. Yeah, and they're really working on that. And you think about the neuroreceptors. You can build anything you want to build, and you can obviously clone things, but you're not God.
Right.
There's a spirit. You know, we're spirits that have a body that possess a soul. We're not a body that functions
right
outside of our spirit beings. And so you can't create a spirit. Mm-hmm. The spirit, he says, you know, that when a man dies, that his body goes back to the earth from where it came, but his spirit goes back to God who sent it. And when God created Adam, he breathed Zoe life. He breathed Zoe life, you know, into Adam. Mm. And that's the spirit of God coming into Adam. And that's so important to understand that we should not be living our lives off this body concept. And we're constantly focused on, you know, body, 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 not spirit. And with that, you know, here we are at this point. They're just talked about it in this 2015 about putting a chip in our brains. And so many people were wanting to do more, but you know, we got to learn to be content. We got to learn to be content where, thanks. Yeah, we got to learn to be content where God has us and the information that we do have. You know what I'm saying?
And why would you want any information, all this gathering
that
God hasn't given you? Hello!
Who wants to know? I mean, the blessedness of knowing nothing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Just to know nothing,
make
possess
that chapter
nothing.
Three.
And we just want to pray today, as a matter of fact. Yeah, we just want to come together as a crew and pray. And, you know, Steve, you can lead us in prayer. We just want to pray for you. And we want to pray that you know, God would be with you, and that despite what's going on, to encourage you in the Lord. Can you lead us in prayer?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for these words of encouragement. We thank you, Lord, that you are the truth, God. You said that, you know, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, but we can take heart in you. We can find our peace in you. And we just say, have your way, Lord. You're in control. And we just glorify you. And we just thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And we just say, have your way, God. Amen. Teach us and guide us, God. In Jesus'
name. Amen.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTB.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTB.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, he and my has, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh, my mother,
yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad, and they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad, we have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad, and all the moms and dads out there. Listen, you can get VFN TV, the daily radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today.